This is an interview with John Edwards from Saturday, July 21st, 1990, at Cincinnati in connection with the Old Timers Game. John, I guess the first thing, instead of going into chronological order, I'm going to start out with the 1961 World Series, where you were a rookie catcher with the Reds going in against the Yankees, and you had as much experience as any other catcher, because it was all rookie catchers that year. I'm just wondering what your feelings were and how you approached that.
Well, that, of course, probably was one of my biggest thrills in baseball. Like I say, I had just coming up out of the minor leagues, and Cincinnati prior to that had Ed Bailey and Smokey Burgess were their catchers, but they had been traded away prior to and during the 61 season, and so they had myself and Jerry Zimmerman, who were both rookies, catching most of the year. They picked up Darryl Johnson later on in the year to finish out our catching staff and get ready for the series. But, you know, it was the biggest thrill of my life, and here was the first year I was in the big leagues, and to go on to Yankee Stadium and play against the 1961 Yankees was still one of the biggest thrills of my baseball career.
Yeah, well, as a lifetime Red fan, I can remember that. And going on with that series, it seemed like all those games were closely contested except the last one, and the Reds were more into that series than most people gave me credit for at the time.
Well, there were several turning points in that series. One of them I was heavily involved with, unfortunately. We lost the first game, came back, won the second game in New York, which gave us a foot out. The third game in New York, and Cincinnati was the pivotal game. And I'll never forget, I ended up having a fast ball on one of Tom Perkins' knuckleballs. I was unable to flag that ball down. It got away from me. And they scored on the blue pitch by Barra that put them back in the ball game. And then late in the ball game, Leo Cardenas missed a home run, which would have run the ball game for us by about 2 feet out in the center field scoreboard. Ball was, toward the center field part of it. Of course, it would have went on out in the street if it had been over a couple of feet. But, you know, that was baseball, and as it turned around after that third game, the Yankees thrashed us a little bit, like you said, that last game.
Well, the thing was such a treat for the Reds fans because nobody was expecting anything to come back with the pennant winner. It was a good season for us.
Yeah, that sure was. You know, it just goes again to show, you know, that a lot of times the pitching, has a lot to do with it. We had a good pitching staff in 61, and although we had, you know, Frank and Veda and Gus and Wally and all those guys, the pitching was the thing that helped us win the pennant that year.
And good relief pitching, too.
Good relief pitching. In fact, that was really the beginning of relief pitching as far as being the art it is today. You know, with Bill Henry and Jim Brosnan coming out of our bullpen, if we got into the seventh inning, those guys were available to get us out of the jam. Prior to that time, you know, the big leagues, it was, nine innings and go out there, you know, you were a starter, you expected to finish the game, but that started to change around 1961.
Well, Henry threw a faster ball than most people gave him credit for, didn't he?
He sure did, and his ball was alive. You know, he didn't have an off-speed pitch. Bill had a little slider, cut fastball and a slider, but not a breaking ball, but he threw hard.
Let's get back now with your career after you were with the Reds about, 6 years?
Or I was with them for six years. I was up until John came, until Vince came. I was, usually the regular catcher for them. I had several good years in there, in which I made the All-Star team and I won the Golden Glove. And then 65, I broke my finger the last day of spring training and tried to play too soon after that. Never had a terrible year in 65, and it just, seemed to, get me down and mentally bothered me, and I wasn't able to bounce back until after I was traded.
And then you went on to Houston.
I went to St. Louis and went to St. Louis and was fortunate enough to play in a World Series with them in 68 against Detroit. And I got a chance that year to catch Bob Gibson every game when he had the 1.12 earned run average. But I went over there. Of course, I was mad at Bill DeWitt because he traded me to St. Louis because I didn't think I'd play very much. But Red Shanding, our manager over there, decided he was going to keep his catchers fresh. So McCarver caught Carlton and Braz, and he let me catch Gibson and Washburn. Of course, Gibson had a great year that year, and that was the easiest job I ever had catching him that year.
He must have something.
It was unbelievable. I don't think anybody will ever have a year that he had that year as far as pitching was.
You look at those records, and you can't believe the ERA that he gets.
And he had that scoreless innings thing in there, and broken after 46 innings, but he went on right after that and threw I think it was 23 more, and right after that gave up one run and then came back with 23 more scoreless innings.
Well, then you went on and you finished up in the big leagues with Houston.
Expansion came in 68, and the Cardinals couldn't protect me from the draft that was coming up with Montreal and San Diego, and so they traded me to get some additional pitching because they knew they were going to lose some in the draft, and I went to Houston. So I went from first place to last place in one afternoon.
Well, I was privileged to talk to Ed Bailey early this afternoon, and I said how fortunate that we were to have such good catchers over the years with you and Ed Bailey and Johnny Bench and Smokey Burgess, and so we certainly appreciate the catching at that point. And then after you left baseball, and then you hadn't had any association with baseball since then.
No, I was when I got out of baseball, I got out of it from the professional standpoint. I had received my engineering degree from Ohio State, and I went on with my degree. In fact, I worked during the off season here in Cincinnati and then later on in Houston until I did retire, so I was prepared to go on to a second career. I still coach a college league team in the summer, so I keep my fingers in baseball a little bit. I'm trying to give back a little bit of what it gave me, and I enjoy it. I enjoy working with the kids.
You live in Houston?
I live in Houston, Texas, right. I retired down there and stayed down there.
Tell me something about Fred Hutchison. He was manager of the team when you were there, and they said he was a hard competitor, but he was a good manager to play for.
He was by far the best manager I ever played for, and I really missed him after his untimely death. But Fred was probably one of the greatest psychologist that I've ever seen. He knew how to handle people in different ways. He knew, in fact, I remember him talking to me about different personalities depending on their nationalities, and he handled me completely differently than somebody else, and he was a master at it. I always remember that Hutch never told me, and I had quite a few, what I felt like were good ball games, for him, but he never came up to me and told me that I played a good ball game because he felt like that I didn't need that. And I played better when I was always looking, wanting to get it in. And he just understood people like that. And he was truly a great manager. He handled Joey Jay and Bob Perkey completely. He handled me, but he knew how to do it. And it was amazing how much he could get out of ball players.
Well, I've forgotten the years there. Were you there till he had to get his team up?
Right.
Well, to interject a personal spot, I think one of the saddest days I ever had in the ballpark was shortly before he died. They had a birthday party for him, and you could see that his face was drawn, and I had field glasses, and I looked at Bill DeWitt, and he was completely broken up. And I guess most of the fans were. But then I guess it must have been awful hard on the team to under those circumstances to really concentrate. Not that you didn't go all out, but it was something that you had to bear besides the ball game.
Well, yeah, I don't think it affected our performance in any way, except that we felt sorry for Fred and for Patsy, his wife. I think the saddest time I ever remember was you know, Fred was a very strong individual, you know, and highly tempered, you know, he'd get mad. I remember him gonna, you know, put on the boxing gloves and fight the umpires. But even during his, you know, long illness and all that, he wouldn't allow us to help him. I remember toward the end in Pittsburgh that he was having trouble walking. And after one of the ball games there, we tried to help him up, to help him, you know, to go start down the runway and the thing. And he really got mad at us because he was going to do it on his own. But that was one of the saddest moments, you know, I got there.
Well, I can remember in spring training that he started out spring training going around from venue to venue with the golf cart. And so then we kind of gritted ourselves for that from there on. And then they told me at the end of the year, the last time he was at the ballpark, they dressed him up in the uniform for the team picture. And that was the last time that he appeared there. So, well, then you finish out your career then with Houston.
That's correct.
And then you were with the team when they still had a lot of good bats as well as pitching.
Well, when I went down there, they were in last place. They turned around and ended up in 1970 and 71 having a real decent pitching staff. You know, had a bunch of hard throwers, and Larry Gerger, and Don Wilson, and that bullpen, Fred Gladding, and Danny Masper. And we made two serious runs in the pennant down there, although we never did pull it off. But they had pretty good pitching. We ended up seeing, you know, some of the kids. Houston, for some reason, wasn't able to get the most out of Joe Moore. But Joe came up here to Cincinnati and turned into, you know, like, well, a Hall of Famer that he is. But he was a tremendous ball player. They had Jim Wynn, you know, the toy cannon. Cesar Cedeno came up in my view, at that time, he was the finest young ball player that I ever saw come up. He never did get himself on track like he should have.
Yes.
He was tremendous talent, and there was at one time I thought that he would then one of the better superstars the game's ever seen.
Yeah, and that seems to be the consensus. Although, when you look at the average that he did come up with, it really wasn't all that shabby compared to the records that they look at now.
No, what they've got. He was a tremendous ball player, but he was just he had it all. He was another Clemente in the fact that he had good speed, good power, a great arm. And all that stuff, and I guess I expected him to be at that pinnacle.
Yeah. What do you think about the catching situation now? With the part of the catching, you might say, or it seems like so many catchers are just hangers-on instead of really earning their position.
Well, one of the things that I see in coaching the college kids down there is that the boys aren't willing to work hard. You know, the easiest position to make it out of the big leagues is catcher. Every ball club needs a catcher. I don't know of any ball club that got two good catchers on their club right now. You know, they have that one solid catcher, but they don't have it. You look at their minor leagues, they don't have a catcher. Kids today just don't seem to want to, you know, work hard at doing the little things that you need to do to be a good catcher. They concentrate, you know, they try to concentrate more on the hitting. But standpoint of winning baseball games, the catching is more important, I think, and always has been, than the hitting aspect of how you handle the pitchers, how you throw out runners, how you block the plate, how you don't give up that necessary run. Pitchers on the mound go to sleep. You got to direct them. You got to tell them to back out, cover first, and all that stuff. And you don't see that old, that old catcher taking charge that you used to when I was back playing baseball.
You talked about handling the pitchers, and one thing that when you're in your early years, where you were just a raw rookie coming up, did you have any problem with the pitchers at all, or did they?
No, because I think I was able to communicate with them. You know, the pitchers and the catchers in my time had to work together. You know, you didn't have to be out there fighting each other, but you would have to go out and discuss, you know, in different situations why you wanted to do this. We kept what I call mechanical books on all of them. You know, there were charts and what guys hit, what they couldn't hit, and so on and so forth. Now I'm sure it's done with the computer, but at that time we spent a considerable amount of time going over how we were going to pitch guys before games, and we talked about after games when we didn't get them out, why we didn't, and what we were going to do corrective action wise the next time. So I was always able to communicate with my pitching staff pretty well. You know, we always got along. I always felt like that they were the ones that are going to get credit for the win or the loss. So I wasn't going to try to shove a pitch down. You know, if I wanted a fastball and I came back with a fastball and they still shook me off, I would go to the pitch they wanted because they were out there to win or lose and they had to believe in what they were doing. You see different pitchers. You think about Bob Burton. He pitches on ball game no matter, you know, what I thought. And then the other guys that I had to, you know, lead them through the whole game. They wouldn't think at all. I mean, they leave it up to the catcher. So you see, you know, different aspects of it.
I guess that first year they gave you a lot of help.
Yeah, they did. I remember them sitting down on the buses, out on the bus rides. I came up in June. I wasn't there the whole year. I came up in June and in Chicago, a day game, I didn't even have the option of, you know, I think I had 2 hours before the game started. And I was in the game, so I didn't have much training from the big leagues, but I can remember on the trip from Chicago to Milwaukee, it was a bus trip in those days, and on the planes and all that, the pitchers would sit down and talk to me about how they wanted to pitch these guys and so on and so forth. They made it easy for me.
Well, that Bailey reminded me, he said in the trade for him, the Reds got Bob Schmidt, but then he got hurt very quickly, and that was the reason that they had to go further, and that kind of slipped my mind, but I can remember now that he was with the team for part of the year.
Right.
And I guess it's hard to remember a team that was so weak in experience and catchers go through, but you got through the season in good shape. And
we ended up making it. I'll never forget. We went in New York to play the Yankees that year, and the headlines on the paper were, you know, that the Yankees had three catchers, and that's three more than Cincinnati had. They did. They had Blanchard, and they had Barrett, and they had Elson Alford at that time. And here we came in with two young kids that were still wet behind the ears.
Well, some of them, some people still say that 61 Yankee team was one of the all-time greats, up in the top four or five or whatever. It was an interesting series up to that last day, and that was a long end of the season, as I remember. Well, John, we all appreciate you here in town. And many people thought that when you were traded away that it was a little premature move. But we sure enjoyed your catching as one of the string of a lot of good catchers over the years.
Well, it wasn't a premature move because, of course, they did the right thing. You know, the old established catchers got to go when a youngster's coming up like Benson's now. And they did the right thing. They needed to move me and get rid of all the, you know, the past loyalties. You know, pitchers sometimes, you know, get a little loyalty, you know, to catcher and all that stuff, and they'd be second guessing and all that stuff. And they did exactly right. That's the way it needs to be done. Cincinnati handled the problem.
Interesting to hear you say that. And I thank you very much, John, for your time.
Thank you.
Enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks.